Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Hey everyone, when I started stepping into foster care here in our state, I just have met some of the most wonderful people. Today I want to introduce you to a dear friend of mine, Mandy Summers. Mandy, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. My husband, Jason, and I, we are foster parents, we're adoptive parents and biological parents. We have 5 kids, 3 are biological, our oldest 3, and then we adopted our younger 2 after we had fostered them for 3.5 years. So we finalized that adoption in May of 2019. And then since then, we have fostered 4 more kiddos.
Wow.
And then we currently have a placement in our home. Jason, my husband, and I work with the Jesus Film Project. It's a ministry under the umbrella of Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU. And we have been doing that. It started out with just a 1-year internship after we graduated.
Sure it did.
From college.
Sure it did.
Just a year, you know, a gap year in between. And the Lord just radically changed the trajectory of our lives and what we thought our lives were going to look like. And we have been on this amazing journey as full-time missionaries for 16, almost 17 years.
Wow. Well, I'm just so glad that the Lord moved you here by us, because like I said, I love watching you on this journey, Mandy. I learned so much from you through foster care. Foster care was new for me about 10, 11 years ago, and I just learned so much from you.
I'll just say thank you.
Well, listen, I know you you always share some things for foster families, adoptive families, especially foster families, that you always make me think like, oh, yeah, that's right. And so today, would you just share some things with us? Because you fostered a good handful of kids by now and currently have a placement that I know had some medical challenges. And so would you just kind of share with us some things that maybe – I don't know, you want to call them lies foster parents can kind of believe that aren't true, or I don't know, it's just some misconceptions.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, I am connected, like, through God's grace, we're connected to several hundred foster parents in different capacities. Of course, some I know closer than others, some we're doing life with, and some I just get to see you know, in training here and there. Lynette, you and I are trainers together with Big Bridge. And so, but out of that, I'm really kind of seeing kind of some common thoughts or beliefs arise. And it's interesting to me because they're not necessarily wrong, but I think the hook is kind of embedded in a lie. And one of those has to do with partnership parenting. And if you're a prospective foster parent or one that's gone through training anytime, probably since 2015, you've heard that word, or
yes,
you're hearing that word. But really, it's this idea that the state would love for us as foster parents to play more of a role in mentoring or walking alongside, if you will, the biological parents or families of the children that are placed in our home.
That sounds great on paper, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Easier said than done. But you know, what I kind of am hearing a lot is kind of the foster parents in our world fall in really one of two camps. And one is this idea of that kind of blows them away. Like, I've never even thought about that. We got into fostering for the children. Our hearts lie with advocating and caring for children. And so I don't really want any part of dealing with their parents or their families. And that's not even safe. Like, you know, so that's kind of one camp,
right,
which you can understand,
yeah,
where that comes from. But the other camp that I'm hearing a lot of, which is not necessarily bad, but it's just this idea of, oh my gosh, that's exactly where our heart is at. And so, like, we're going to get a placement on Wednesday, and on Friday, we're having the bio family over for a cookout, you know, kind of this
overzealous. Yeah. Yeah.
And really, while I don't think either one of those thoughts is necessarily bad, I think the lie that both are believing is that this relationship has to do with us as foster parents, or that we're in control. And really, the more Jason and I foster and the more we're in this world, we see so, so clearly that we are not in control, and there's nothing we can do or manipulate or make happen, but it's really just a spirit-led journey. And these tiny little steps of faith and walking in obedience and asking God, like pleading with God for what the next right thing is, no matter how big or how small.
Wow. And so how has the Lord like spoken to you and Jason? Can you think of some instances like, I know your heart for God's word, Mandy. I know you're a woman of prayer. And Jason, like, I have that privilege of knowing you a little more. But how has the Lord just kind of led you on this journey talking about these two camps? You know, like, do we get close to the Bio family, or do we just act like, no, we'll let the state handle that? Like, how has the Lord enabled you to do this? Because they're both scary to me.
Totally. I think we've had the privilege in our personal fostering journey now of really seeing both sides of those camps and really walking in them and trusting the Lord in each. So we've had placements where, legitimately what it was kind of like that, like as the case moved more towards reunification, I mean, we couldn't get this girl home quick enough in our mind. And so we really were co-parenting in every sense of the word. Like, her family was coming over for holidays, and we were texting, you know, pictures and updates daily. And it really did kind of become that. And that was an amazing privilege. It didn't start out there on day one. Again, little steps, little baby steps of walking in obedience and asking God for just the next right thing. I would really pray that. What is the next step in this relationship?
Yeah.
And he would open that door each time. And so maybe it starts with, sitting next to them at court instead of across the aisle.
Oh,
or
that's great.
maybe it starts with just the smallest little things of showing them that you care, giving them dignity and value as the bio parents of this precious child that you're in charge charged with caring for. But then it just got bigger, and if you will, if that's the right word there, as the case went along and as we moved more towards reunification, we were kind of given the green light to go ahead and just kind of open it up. And again, that is when we started to invite them, you know, after we knew that really safety wasn't an issue there, after we knew that this case was going to reunify. And so we knew that this child was going home, and we wanted to be as involved as we possibly could in that environment. But we've also had cases, placements, if you will, on the other side, where we've had DFACs ask us not to give our personal cell phone or information out to that family, to the biological family. We've had DFACs ask us, or even ask us, to pause and kind of pull in the reins on how much we wanted to be involved with the biological parents. Because of different circumstances, we weren't always privileged to the information, but we trusted defects in that process. And so God kind of closed some doors, and that was right. And so really what came out of both of those scenarios for us is that we have no control over how this is going to go. And every day is a surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Wow. And it can change on a dime, can it?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can be walking along and things may be going well with birth mom. Maybe she's texting you occasionally, and then it can just fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you do in those circumstances? Because you've had it where you could have birth family over and you knew it was going to reunification, the family was going to be restored. But when it can turn, I don't want to say vile, but it can turn vile, when it can just get incredibly uncomfortable and you realize, okay, there's still a safety issue here for this child. How do you navigate that, Mandy?
You know, that's a great question. And I would say we're kind of currently walking through something similar to what you just described. And, the Lord really spoke to my heart recently, and through a dear friend, what I've come to understand is that I can be, as a follower of Jesus, light and life and an example of the gospel and sharing the gospel to this biological family. In fact, I'm called to do that mm-hmm. as a follower of Jesus. And so I can do that. And also God has placed a child in my care. And I can be a vigilant and fierce advocate for the safety of that child. And those things are exclusive. I can run both of those tracks.
Wow, that's a great point. That is a great point.
I don't have to share the gospel and love my neighbor, if you will, at the expense of the child in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I can fiercely protect that child, even if it means protecting them from their biological family. And yet I am called to share Jesus with my neighbor. And so even my enemy, right? The mm-hmm. Bible says.
Yep.
So those things are exclusive and those missions are separate at times.
Oh, wow. That's such a great reminder. And it's just so incredibly difficult, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know you share a lot about partnership parenting and just the things that you've said, you know, building relationship. And you're just a prime example, you know, of what is broken relationship. Broken in relationship can definitely be healed in relationship. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's always going to happen this side of heaven, right? And so
right.
we just keep being led by the Holy Spirit. And like you've just so clearly and beautifully stated, it's just a walk of faith, a walk of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How have you seen that kind of flesh out in your home? Like your kids, kind of your bio kids and well, you really have five bio kids now. You are their mother, even
yes.
though three
yeah.
you gave birth to. But how are you seeing that kind of change things in your home? Have you seen a change in your kids if they've watched you guys do this? Because I know your older kids, they're so supportive.
Yeah. Yes. I tell people all the time, especially people who rightfully so with all valid, you know, points come to me and say, I just don't know if we can do this to our bio kids. And of course it's messy and of course it's
of course.
Broken.
Yes.
You know, I won't sugarcoat that. And there's hard things. And there's even hard things when kids, you know, when our placements go home, it's hard and we
yeah.
grieve and our kids cry and I watch them go through that. And yes, it's hard. But oh man, is it good? Is it good for my kids to see this and witness this and walk this? And why would I, as a mother, want to shield my kids from the hard things that God is asking us to do?
Oh,
I would never want to stand in the way of that. And I tell people, and in all honesty, it's the truth that the Lord has grown my children. So I've watched it happen in ways that I could have never manufactured on my own outside of the hard ministry of foster care. And so I'm grateful for it. I'm even grateful for the hard. I'm grateful for the times when maybe they're disappointed, when I can't, you know, take them to ball practice that night because we've got, you know, therapy for one of the kids, or, you know, when they have to make little sacrifices here and there and they are disappointed or it is hard. I am thankful for that because the biggest blessing that I have seen personally as a mother has been watching my children navigate kind of some of the heart of foster care and still asking to do it again each time we have a placement go home.
Wow. That is just incredible. It really is. And it, you know, I just remind myself, we say this in trainings and I remind myself of this over and over. We trust God with our kids at home and He mm-hmm. loves them more than we ever could. And He has good plans for our kids. He
That's
does.
Right.
And this is part of their story. He's building their story too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and so we talked about partnership parenting, kind of the two camps there.
Mm-hmm.
What's something else you think that kind of a lie we've kind of bought into to keep us from fostering or afraid in fostering?
Yeah, well, I don't think you'll be surprised by this one at all. I'm sure you've heard it 100 million times, and I probably hear it at least once a week, if not more, truthfully. But it's that people will say, oh my gosh, it's wonderful what you're doing, but I could never do that because I could never give them back.
Oh my goodness, hear it every week, yeah.
Yeah. And man, I'm right there, like that's hard. It's not fun, you know, and people are well-meaning and well-intentioned when they say that. And so I don't want to poke fun, but kind of in my heart, I'm thinking, you know, well, I'm not heartless. Like it is hard, you know?
Yeah.
We aren't, Jason and I aren't these just machines that can, you know, just do that without emotion attached. And so, yes, it is hard. It is hard. But I think to be a foster parent, if that is something that God has called you to, you have to dig down deep and make sure that it is one of your core values as a person, that you really believe that children are best with their biological families, that it is best for children at the end of the day, whenever possible, to be with their biological mom, dad, whatever is available for them there. And I think, you know, are these children going to go back to a nice, tidy house? You know, are they going to go back to the home that they had living with you? Are they going to go back to, you know, kind of a, what do we say in training, an A+ home or whatever? No, you know, they're not always going to. But we do believe that it is just the very best. And I pray every day. I really do. I ask the Lord, that he would bring back to the forefront of my heart, that core belief that it is best. And so when you're believing that, when you're fostering and walking in that belief, then it is easier to champion reunification for that child because you believe that's best for that child. And you love this child that you get to put to bed every night and you get to see smile in the morning and you get to, you know, push on the swing at the park and you get that child, you love that child. And so you want what's best for that child. And when you really do, then you are able to help champion reunification when it's possible. Is it always possible? Is it always going to happen? No, we've adopted two children out of foster care. And in that situation, in that instance, that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's plan for those children. But when reunification is possible, we champion it for the kiddos that come in our home.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, when you did adopt the two little ones, they were siblings out of foster care. They're siblings, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You thought it was going to reunification. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We fostered them. That was a long case. So we fostered them for 3 years. And yes, at one point it was looking like that. It did kind of. Well, and then it was looking like they would maybe not go back with biological mom or dad, but maybe with extended family.
Oh, that's
right.
So
we walked that road for a little while as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Mandy, we know that went to adoption and now you're fostering, you have another placement. I know you learned something from every placement, but I know this one's been a little different. What have you learned from this current placement of this little one?
Yeah, this was our first placement as personally of a baby that we brought home from the hospital. So she was discharged out of the NICU to us. And so that was a little different as well. I think, you know, in this case, another thing that's different for us is we are working alongside with another foster family in our church, in our community of care, that is the older siblings. And so we're doing a lot of sibling visits, and that's been a different piece than I've walked before, and a fun piece. I'll say that we are loving that she gets to see her older siblings regularly at church, and just kind of that kind of organic, comfortable environment, has been really fun. So, you know, I'm learning continually. She's had just a few, you know, challenges in her early life. She's in physical therapy weekly. And, you know, that again brings things that I'm learning. And we are having visits with her biological mother weekly. And I think she's one of the few counties that's still doing virtual visits as opposed to in-person.
I can't imagine.
After COVID. Yeah. So I have a lot of time that I talk with her mom because she's a baby. So she's not talking on these visits.
So she's just looking at her baby online.
Right. Yes. Yeah. On our phones. It's a Zoom call. So, you know, really it's a lot of me sharing with the mom what's going on in the week and what she's learned that week. You know, all those things that you'd kind of write down in a baby book, I'm kind of verbally sharing with her mom because her mom's not seeing these little milestones.
Yeah.
And so, that's kind of where we are currently with this, placement and, lots of daily surrender of trusting the Lord, because really right now I do not know, which way this will go. And so it's just like, Lord, what do you have? And sometimes I don't understand his way. Sometimes things don't seem to line up how I would do it, how I would craft it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But just surrender daily.
Wow. Wow. You're just a prime example how the Lord just, you know, this podcast really goes to folks in the church, to the body of Christ. And you're just a prime example of, I remember that story now of how two families in the church were able to take in all of those kids, and you all were able to keep a relationship with those kids. You guys meet together and able to do that, and then you can Zoom in mom. And, you know, everything's changed since COVID, but you've made that work, Mandy. And, man, let's just be an encouragement to other families who are being asked to do that right now, that you can make it work as best you can. And the children are safe, but you can keep working toward building relationship with birth parents over a Zoom call.
Yeah, it is possible. I would say only the Lord, this kind of wacky scenario works. But I will speak to that. I think it was a really cool thing. Speaking of community of care, DFACS actually asked, so that the older children were in care first. They were in care for almost a year before baby was born. And because of the parentification really of the older girl, DFACS did not want to place new baby in the same home. And so they actually went to the foster parents and said, we know you're involved in your church. We know your community. They didn't know the words community of care necessarily, because that's more of a faith bridge term. But they said, we know you're involved with other foster parents at your church. Is there somebody at your church that is open and licensed that could take this baby? And if that works, we'll give you all free rein to facilitate sibling visits at your will. And
wow.
So we don't have to go to the DFACS office. We don't have to, we just get to set it up on our own in a fun, relaxing environment that is not so sterile as a, you know, an office with a few toys at DFACS. And it's been a really beautiful thing. And I think it's been an enlightening and really positive thing for the DFACS county involved to see, wow, these churches are doing it right. They're doing foster care the way it should be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Being the hands and feet of Jesus, of going where the brokenness is and wrapping your arms around it. That is a perfect picture of that. Yeah, I had forgotten how all those pieces had fallen together for you guys, but that is just a great example. Well, Mandy, how do you, let's just end here, but how do you respond as a foster family when you have to let go, when you have to release a child back to a broken situation, when you know that maybe a judge or a system is putting a child back in a home that's just, they may not be saved and maybe you've got some fear in that. Can you just give us just kind of a quick response on that, on how a family can navigate that?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to put a Band-Aid on it, because that's just a really hard, yucky situation. Two things I will say about that. One is, if you have bio kids in the home, I think you validate the sadness of it. Mm. And I just, Jason and I have not shielded our children from our emotions when it involves this, or, and so we've let them see us cry. When we reunified, one of our placements, as they were driving away, we were visibly saddened. Not that she was going home. We were happy for her. We were sad for us. We had loved her, and our family had loved her big. And we all just kind of as a group cried together and grieved. And we didn't tell anybody. We didn't try to say, you know, ultimately we shared truth, right? That that it is what's best for her. And we had been talking about that all along. But in that moment, we let everybody feel their big sad feelings. And
absolutely,
even still, our little kids, you know, will say, oh, we want to see her again, or when can we see her again? And
yeah.
So we know they feel that. So that's one thing I would share, is just don't try to make your kids feel, or even yourself feel something, out of nobility, or out of, because it's the right thing to feel, but just feel the sad. It is sad. It hurts.
Right.
And even though we know it's good, and even though we know it's the Lord's will. And then second, thing is, I would say, the throne room trumps the courtroom, right? And, we don't always understand what God is doing. We don't understand what his plans are. We can't see him this side of heaven. It doesn't make sense to us, but, he sits on the throne and the battle's won, and we trust him because he's sovereign and he's good.
That is so good, Mandy. The throne room, the Lord is good, and the throne room trumps the courtroom. We can trust the Lord at every single step. Wow, that is so good. Well, thank you for joining us today, friend. I know this is going to be an encouragement and help so many families in the midst of this or considering this. And can I just state the obvious here? With all that's going on in our country, foster care is going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And the need is going to be huge for years to come. And so thank you for being a champion of it. Thank you for being such a servant among the body, and just opening your home to children from hard places, those who are struggling, those who didn't ask for this, and they just need love. They need to know the Lord in relationship. So thanks to you, and thanks for sharing today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's just my greatest joy and privilege to walk this road with you. So thanks so much, Lynette.
Thank you, friend. Hey friends, just remember, the enemy never has the final word. We serve a living Savior. And though the system may fail, the Lord never does. So thank you for joining us today. And just remember what Mandy said, the throne room trumps the courtroom.